As was announced, I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. 14 through 30. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Obedience to God is not only emphasized, but it is required. Matthew 25, 14 through 30, and then verses 31 through 46 in that same chapter, which we'll look at some of those verses also this morning. As Jesus taught, he explained that there are requirements placed on man so that he can please God. There are requirements placed on each of us when we reach the age of accountability to believe that what God tells us is true and what God asks of us is required and that we're willing to obey that. God knew that man was a sinful being. From the Garden of Eden on down, man has been tempted and drawn away of his own lust. Lust has conceived and brought forth sin, and sin separates us from God, Isaiah 59. Verses 1 and 2. So there was a need that God do something for us. He wanted to do something for us. Man needed help. We cannot come out of our sin on our own. We can make the attitude right and we can look toward God, but something had to be done in order to wash away our sins. So that's where the Son of God came in. God had His Son who'd always been with Him eternally. So to save man, God sent Jesus to this earth. Jesus came and He suffered on the cross and died the sin so that we might have forgiveness of sin. John 3:16 points to the fact that God gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Look, if you will, to Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. Here we see that certainly Christ died in our place so that we could have forgiveness of sins. And because God sent His Son and He gave His life, paid the ultimate sacrifice and shed His blood on the cross for us, then obedience is required on our part in order to receive that grace of God through Jesus His Son. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6, "For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Look at the next three verses. "Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." So when we talk about obeying God, God allows us to be able to obey Him because He sent His Son to die to take away our sins. Matthew 1 and verse 21 talked about the fact that Jesus would be born of a woman and He would give His life for all. And Jesus did that. He came and He gave His life for our sins. And so that to receive the grace of God and the mercy of God, to have the forgiveness of sins through what God did for us through His Son, we have an obligation to do some things on our part. First of all, we need to believe God. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Matter of fact, the Hebrew writer tells us that, you know, it's impossible to please God for without faith. "For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him." So faith is essential to be on the direction to having the opportunity to receive salvation from our sins. Mark 16, 15 and 16, God points out that we have to obey Him. And hearing what God's Word has said to us, when we believe it and obey, our sins can be washed away. There in the Great Commission, Mark 16, 15 and 16, He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." So there's the faith plus obedience. The thought of mind and then the deed of obeying equals salvation. Matthew 7 verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father which is in heaven." Again, it's not just calling on the Lord or believing in the Lord, but it's believing what God says and having enough faith in to do and obey. The gospel will save us when we obey the gospel because the blood of Christ has been shed for our sins. So obeying the first principle of the gospel will save us from our sins. We'll be forgiven and we'll be a child of God. So to not obey the gospel, disobedience brings condemnation. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 7 through 9, if you look over there, we see that certainly the Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Thessalonica, he pointed out that we need to live in hope as Christians because if we obey, there's something good coming. But if those who don't obey the gospel, there's going to be a tragedy come upon them. He says in verse 6 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, "Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." So the emphasis is that we believe God. God has done this for us through His Son. His Son shed His blood. Through God's grace, He allows us to have salvation. So what's our part in that? Believe what God says and obey it. Believe and obey. To obey God requires some things on my part and your part, and that is to simply do His will in word and deed. Confessing Christ to be the Son of God is one thing. But to do that is another. So it takes confessing that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We need to make that confession with our mouth, Romans 10, 9 and 10. We have an example of where those who were to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins were asked to make a confession that they believed that Jesus was the Son of God. Acts chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. And so confession, believing in Christ, and then obedience. So it involves what we say and what we do. And all of that begins then with our thoughts, our mentality, what we think about God and what we think about ourselves and what we think about God's Word. All end up in being what our actions are going to result in. How do we think? That's going to base what we say, and then not only what we say, but what we do. Obedience then in word and deed is important. Well, now, obedience to God and having our sins washed away by the first principle of the gospel and baptism is one thing, but then to live faithful to God is another. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, we're to desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. We're to be faithful. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, that ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So there's some things that we might do once we become a child of God to become unfaithful. Well, we may lose our standing with God of a faithful condition. So it is possible to fall and lose one's salvation. Look, if you will, to the book of Hebrews. When we look at the book of Hebrews chapter 6, we're going to look at verses 1 through 8. First of all, Hebrews chapter 6 verses 1 through 8. He says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, of eternal judgment, and this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put into an open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated receives blessings from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. So we need to be careful that once we confess Christ, we believe God and we obey Him in baptism and receive the forgiveness of sins, that we continue then with obedience. Peter talks about the man in chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, the fact that here's a man who knew the gospel, who knew the truth and turned again to the ways of the world, and he's worse, as we mentioned a week or two ago in one of the lessons, than a dog turned to his own vomit and to the sow turned to her wallowing in the mire. It would have been better for him to have not known the way of righteousness than to have known it and turned from it. So it is possible to fail in our obedience to God and lose our faithful status and our salvation. Look back to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Hebrews 3 and verse 12, it says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. The society that we live in today, there are so many people who have no regard for God at all. No regard for God or His being or His existence or His power or even His Word. There are many who will speak out against God and even against His Son and will say that the things that are taught in the Bible about Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Son of God, is just a myth. That there's nothing to it. And they want people to believe that, and they themselves have no relationship with God, and they want others to be pulled away from God and just put God out of the picture. But God is in the picture. Without Him, we cannot live or move or have our very being, as Paul explained on Mars Hill in Acts chapter 16 and 17 as he taught the gospel there. And he said, it is in Him that we live and move and have our very being. So we have an obligation then to obey God in word and deed. So let's go to our Bible reading, Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, that Ronnie read a few minutes ago, wherein we are taught in these verses that both the need and the requirement of faithful obedience. There is a need for us to faithfully obey. If not, we're going to lose sight of where we are and we may fall away from being faithful to God. There's a need for us to obey the first principles. If not, we're still separated from God in our sins because the blood of Christ has not washed us the sins away from us. But God requires then, as children of God, that we be faithful servants. that we do the things He asks us to do. Here in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, let's notice some points about obeying God in word and deed. Verse 14 and 15, we see that talents were given to each servant. The master was going away, so He gave these three servants their talents. He gave to each one of them talents. And so each one of them then received some things that they were in charge of. As Ronnie read in verses 14 and 15, Jesus says, you know, this is the kingdom of heaven. It's like a man. He's going away. He calls His servants and He delivers His goods to them. And He gave one 5 talents, one 2, and another 1 to each according to his own ability. So everyone has different abilities, everyone has different talents, but everyone has responsibilities. So talents were given to each servant according to their responsibility. In verses 16 through 18, we see that each one of them did something with the talents that their master gave them and left behind for them to be responsible for. Each one of them did something with it. Notice, as we read there in verse 16, the one that received 5 talents went and traded those 5 talents and what? Gained 5 more. So he did something. He did something worthwhile. He did something in obeying the responsibility he had on his shoulders to act upon what the master had given him responsibility to do. The one who received 2 talents in verse 17, and likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more. He did something with his talents. He did something good with his talents. He had 2. He doubled the matter. He received 2 more. So we see that each one did something with their talents. The third one then, he also did something with the talents he received. He went and buried the talent. Buried it. In essence, he just made the effort to bury it and just hide it because I know the master is strict and I know he's going to be very hard on me. So if I just bury it, it'll be safe, and when he comes back, everything will be okay. No, notice each one did something with their talents, and the third man, by just taking the easy road of burying it and then not bearing the responsibility of trying to improve on it or be profitable in what he was doing with it, he's gonna find out that God does not accept that. Why? Because he didn't obey in the sense of going forward and making progress. The 5-talent man, he went forward and made progress. The 2-talent man, he went forward and made progress. This man that hid his talent, he's in trouble. Verses 19 through 30, each one of them was held responsible for the talents that they were given. Each one was held responsible for, and not only held responsible for those, but they were held accountable for their actions. When he gave them to them, they were responsible for taking them and using them in the right way, exercising and making something out of it. They were responsible for that, and then they're going to be held accountable. After a long while, the master returned and called them in and held each one of them accountable. Let's notice the fact that each one of them was responsible for this. He gave the 1 5, he gave the 1 2, and he gave the other 1 1. And verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. What is he doing? He's holding them responsible for what he left in their hands to do something with. They had a responsibility to obey. They had a responsibility to take action. They had a responsibility to take proper action and make some things happen so they could answer to the master when he came back. So they were held accountable. They were responsible for it. And not only were they responsible for it, he held them accountable for it. In verse 20, the one who received 5 talents came and brought other 5, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. Well, he's held responsible for it. What have you done? Well, here it is. I've got 5 more. And so the next one then, he was held accountable. Then the one who received 2, verse 22, he also had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. So the man who received 5 talents, the man who received 2 talents, was held responsible for the way they used them, and they were held accountable. Then at the end, did they fulfill their responsibility in a good way? These 2 did. The Lord blessed them in it. But this next man then, he was held accountable, verses 26 through 30, but he was not responsible enough in what he did. in just hiding that talent and saying, I was afraid of you, that wasn't enough. He was supposed to took action and obeyed and done something. Had some good results. Verses 26 through 30 again. But his Lord answered and said to him, well, let's go back to verse 24. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent on the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. I was afraid. Have you ever talked to someone about the gospel, about being baptized into Christ? And I've had a few people over the years that said to me, I'm afraid if I'm baptized that I can't hold out faith. I'm afraid. I'm afraid I can't do what God asked me to do. Fear, in that respect, can be devastating. But if we fear God and reverence Him like we should, then we can overcome that fear that's within us to submit to Him and be baptized and be saved. And we can overcome that fear within us to step up and do the things that we are what? Held accountable for. These people that He gave the talents to, He gave each one of them what? According to their ability. It may be that Donald has much more ability than I do. He's going to be held accountable for the abilities he has. I'm going to be held accountable for the abilities I have. But also, Donald and I both are going to be held accountable of whether or not we did all we could do to develop more abilities and use them. So this man said, I'm afraid. And the Lord held him accountable. He said, this is what I did. I know I went and hid it but the Lord said in verse 26, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance, but from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And then that one, he says in verse 30, and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you ever been afraid that there's something that you've been asked to do and you're not sure you can do it? I have. And so sometimes we need to prepare for that, and all that fear may not be overcome until we get up there, and it may not be overcome then. We still may be afraid after we step down. But we can't let fear of certain things, fear of what people may think, or fear of making a mistake, or fear of not doing as good as someone else would do. We can't let those type fears hold us back, but I'm afraid sometimes in the church we do let those things hold us back. Hold us back. Sometimes we may be asked to do some things such as gospel preachers. Sometimes gospel preachers may be asked to preach a sermon or speak at someone's funeral that was not a Christian. And everyone knew they were not a Christian, and maybe the life they lived had nothing to do with obeying God, but you're asked to speak in that capacity. And I'm going to tell you, that's a fearful task. To try to get up and say a few words to a family that's lost a loved one, and that loved one was never a part of being in the family of God or anything. That's a fearful thing to have to do something like that. And so, here's what God's saying. We need to obey Him in word and deed. Each one of us have responsibilities. We have responsibilities we need to use. And we are going to be held accountable for how we use our responsibilities. Let's look at the rest of that chapter. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. These verses also in the picture of the judgment. Jesus is showing the picture of the judgment, what it's going to be like when the Son of Man will call all nations and all nations to be gathered before Him. He teaches that there's a need for every man and woman to prepare and to require them then with their own selves, that God is going to expect them and require them to be faithful in obedience in word and deed. So there's expectations for everyone, and we're going to be held accountable then. Just as the ones who had the talents were held accountable for what they did with them, we're going to be held accountable in the last day when Jesus judges us by the words He spoke in John 12:48. We're going to be held accountable of whether or not we've obeyed. Verses 31 through 33 of Matthew 25, we're told that there will be a day when we're going to be judged. And each one of us will be held accountable. Held accountable. For how? We have spoke and what we have done. We're going to be held accountable. Look at verses 31 through 33. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He'll separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. There's coming a day when I'm going to be held responsible. Verses 34 through 36, we see that obedience, if we obey, or disobedience, if we don't obey, will make the difference in the results. Same thing in the parable of talents. It made a difference. Those who obeyed, they were blessed. The man who didn't, the man who tried to avoid some things, tried to back up and take the easy road, he failed and he was condemned in it. Here again, in the picture of the judgment. If those who obey, they're going to get good results. Those who disobey are going to have bad results. There's a difference, a distinct difference in obeying and disobeying. Look at verses 41. I've got 41 through 41, but we're going to begin in verse 41. And let's look at that and read these verses, 41 through 46. Then He will say also to those on the left hand, depart from Me, you cursed, and everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave Me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take Me in. Naked, and you did not clothe Me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit Me. So here's some things those who did not obey God. They did not obey. Verse 45, then He'll answer them saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of these, the least of Me, you did not do it to Me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Let's back up a little bit and see the difference. Up in verse 35, Jesus says, I was hungry and you gave Me food. They did some things. I was thirsty. They did some things. You gave Me drink. I was a stranger and you took Me in. They obeyed. They did some things. I was naked and you clothed Me. I was sick and you visited Me. I was in prison and you came to Me. Then the righteous will answer Him saying, Lord, when did we see You hungry and feed You, or thirsty and give You drink? When did we see You a stranger, take You in, or naked, or clothe You? Or when did we see You sick, or in prison, or come to You? And the King will say to Him, and notice the difference in the obedience, verse 40, than what we read down in verse 46. The difference. And the King will answer and say to Him, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of these, My brethren, you did it to Me. Those who obeyed, there's going to be the understanding. Back verse 34, the King will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Those who obey God will receive the inheritance of a home in heaven. Those who don't obey will be told to depart from Me, you cursed, everlasting fire, I never knew you. Just a few thoughts this morning from Matthew 25, verses 14 through 46, concerning the fact that today, as you and I live, and however how long we're on this earth, we have a responsibility to believe God. And not only to believe God, but to obey Him in word and in deed. Because word alone will not work. You go back to Matthew 7, verse 21, and go through verse 34, and you see that there are going to be those in the last day who's going to come and say, you know, Lord, Lord, in Thy name have we not done many wonderful works? And have we not cast out devils and done these many good things in Your name? And He's going to tell them that that's not good enough. Only those who obey the will of the Father in which is in heaven. It doesn't matter what we do in the name of the Lord or what we may think we're doing in the name of the Lord. If it's not what He asked us to do, if it's not the proper obedience, then we're going to be condemned in that respect also. So obedience in word and deed is very important. As we think about our life and what we do, the question marks are in front of me and the question marks are in front of you today also. Are we obeying in word and deed? And we can back that up a notch. Are we obeying in our thoughts, our words, and our deeds? What kind of thoughts are we having? Are we thinking on things that are pure and things that are lovely and things that are good report? We should be thinking on these things. Because He says, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report. Think on these things. Paul told the Philippian brethren. So we need to be thinking on the right things, thinking on the things of God, examining the things of God, and applying them to our life so that we say the things that God would want us to say in our words and then obey God in the way He would have us to obey Him in the deeds that we do. In our own life, the things we do, the way we treat others, the way that we treat God's Word and Him and the church and all aspects of life. Obedience is essential. So what will be the outcome for me? You need to ask yourself the same question. Because each one is going to stand accountable in the day of judgment. You'll be judged according to the word by the things that are spoken, by the things you've done. I'll be judged according to the word by the things I've done, by the things that God has spoken. What will be the outcome for me and what will be the outcome for you? We need to obey in word and deed. It's required for us to do that. So if we're not doing that, what do we need to do? Well, today we're living, today we're alive, and today we're well. So if we failed in that respect, we need to make the corrections today. If we've gone beyond and broke God's law and we're living in sin, then we need to get back to where God wants us to be and get those things out of our life and repent of our sins and confess those things to God and pray and He'll forgive us. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, you've never been baptized into Christ, and you know what's required of you to have your sins washed away and you don't do it, if you fail to do that, you're going to be held accountable for not doing it. And sad, sad, the words that will be said for failing to do what we know we should do. So, just a few words of thought this morning. If you're subject to the invitation in either respect this morning, please come while together we stand and while we sing.